We're turning our attention first, though, to the situation with regards to our national broadcaster on the programme this morning, and it's emerged that RTE suspended TV licence adverts just days after the Ryan Tuberty pay scandal emerged. It suspended all outside adverts, urging the public to pay their TV licence a number of days after the emergence of the Ryan Tuberty payment scandal that's resulted in the broadcaster needing a €56 million taxpayer-funded bailout. The national broadcaster was suspending more than €36,000 a month, including VAT, or excluding VAT, I should say, between January and June of this year on adverts across non-RTE platforms, encouraging people to pay the €160 that you need to pay for your TV licence. All of the advertising was paused last July, shortly after the saga broke in June with regards to the controversy over his pay and wider controversy as it developed. RTE has lost more than €17 million in licence fee revenue since the Tuberty controversy. The funding crisis means the broadcaster will now receive, of course, €56 million from the government. Questions are being asked about this by Fine Gael TD Brendan Griffin, who is, of course, a member of the Oireachtas Media Committee. Deputy Griffin is with me on the line. Deputy Griffin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry. Good morning to everyone listening.
Now, you're asking questions as to why this decision was made, or who made the decision to stop encouraging people to pay their TV licence by way of advertising outside of RTE channels.
That's correct, Gerry. A number of weeks ago, I noticed that it seemed to me, just as a regular consumer, that RTE TV licence ads weren't as prominent across all media platforms as they would have been in the past. I did notice that they were still there on RTE, but not on local radio, not on, you know, other TV stations or other platforms. So I put in a number of questions through the Oireachtas Media Committee. I put them in as parliamentary questions first to the Minister. They were ruled out of order, so I went through the Oireachtas Media Committee. In the meantime, a number of journalists, in particular Hugh O'Connell from the Irish Independent and Aisling Maloney from the Irish Daily Mail, put a number of media requests to RTE, and Aisling Maloney was the first person to ascertain that actually, in fact, the advertising had stopped outside of RTE platforms just as this scandal broke. Now, people may say that's not much of a story, but actually the real issue here is that, first of all, the TV licence brought in €221 million in 2022, which is an enormous amount of money. The total expenditure by RTE advertising the licence in that year was €396,000. So roughly just under 0.2% expenditure for that return. Any advertising executive listening this morning will tell you that's a fantastic ratio. So we fast forward, this scandal broke. RTE had already spent €217,000, which is less than 0.01% of the total amounts that would have come in the previous year. And then they cut this. Now, we know that within RTE for a long time, they've been trying to move away from the TV license model. They weren't a big fan of this. And strangely, this crisis happens. And rather than what I would have thought would have happened, would have happened certainly in the private sector, that the messaging changes. If there's a crisis, you pivot and you change with the crisis. You would have thought that RTE would have reminded people, if the problem was the RTE brand at the time in July, which it was, that you would remind people this fee not only supports RTE, it supports independent producers, it supports independent broadcasters as well, such as regional radio stations, not as much as they would like, I know, but it does. But they didn't do that. Actually, what they did was completely pulled their advertising from other platforms. So I want to know who made that decision, what was the rationale, and was it linked to their overall desire for a change of policy? Because ultimately what we've seen...
Was it not... Let me ask you this. I understand the point you're making. You're saying, look, they wanted a new system of charging. The licence fee isn't working for them. They wanted an increase for many years and they want a new way of collecting it, perhaps maybe to ensure that they'd get away from the rates of evasion they were seeing and other issues like that. Perhaps maybe they just saw the writing on the wall and said, look, let's save this €36,000 excluding VAT, because for the foreseeable future, people aren't going to be paying their TV licence, or significant portions of those will be wasting the money.
Well, I wouldn't...
Is that a possibility?
If that is the possibility, it was a really poor decision, because the amounts involved, the revenue at stake is so enormous versus the actual expenditure. As I said, it's 0.2%. It's a really small amount in the overall in the year. And the issue is, as I said, that not only is this RTE that benefits from this, there are others as well. And any advertising executive worth their salt in the boardroom, you'd imagine, would have said, right, we need to change the message here. We need to remind people that it's people living in your own community that benefit from this, people working in the independent production sector, people working in local radio. It's not just those at the very top of RTE. It's other staff in RTE that benefit from this, people who had no hand, act, or part in this scandal. But no, there was none of that. They pulled the money completely. And we know that other spending continued in certain other areas, but this was such a relatively small amount overall, and it was pulled. And I want answers on this. I think we need to see minutes. We need to see who made this decision, at what level, what discussions took place. I asked the minister last night, when did she become aware of this? It was unclear in relation to when she did. But I do think that it is coincidental again that they have now decided that they are going to reinstate these ads. But we just have heard that now. I've asked, is that only because we found out that you stopped doing it? I didn't get an answer to that. I want to know that. Because
they're running a new ad. They're running a new ad. They're continuing to run three compliance ads across their own television, radio and digital channels. They're also including a new advert thanking those who have bought or renewed their TV licence. Is that something that was missing from years gone by? We had these hectoring ads reminding us to pay and telling us we'll go to jail and we'll face fines, but not really much of an education for people as to what the licence actually does, or thanking people for supporting the broadcaster.
Yeah, the messaging certainly needed to be better and a lot more carrot rather than stick, and just actually reminding people of the cultural content and all of the other very positive things, you know, the independent news element of it, which is more important now than ever. But when we look at what's been lost now in the 17.5 million and the state and the taxpayer have had to bail out RT, the amount now, and it's rising, is 50 times the amount of the 345,000 that was at the heart of this scandal day one. So if you ask me, this is a scandal in itself, that the amount of revenue lost by a semi-state agency
Has risen. And there are impacts. I'm hearing stories of people on fixed-term contracts in RTE who are not having their contracts renewed. So that's outside of the voluntary redundancy programme. There are people who are losing their jobs effectively already because of that. Is there any getting it back? This ability, or this buy-in from the public, a portion of the public who decided, you know what, I'm not paying that. And someone will say, I'll not pay it ever again.
I think the situation is retrievable, but, you know, I think I certainly don't have confidence in the leadership of RTE at present in terms of at board level. I don't, and I expressed that to them in relation to paying the TV licence back in August, that you can see why people wouldn't have confidence, wouldn't be renewing their licences, because they don't trust the people who are in charge. And again, even when I was saying that at the time, that was August, we weren't told then about this suspension of advertising of the license. And this was a full almost 2 months after the crisis broke. And so that lack of openness and transparency was even there still as recently as those Oireachtas hearings after the summer recess. And that's something that's infuriating if we're talking about restoring confidence. And I think it is retrievable that people will contribute in the future, because it's never been as important, I think, actually, to have strong public broadcasting. And everything that happened last week and that's continuing to happen this week emphasises that.
Yeah,
it is retrievable,
well,
but
needed.
There has to be the public need to
there has to be transparency and trust has to be rebuilt. Okay, Deputy Griffin, let me ask you this on what happened last Thursday night. Speaking yesterday in the Dáil Sinn Féin spokesperson Justice Pat Daly of a TD here in Kerry said the government is not listening. They did not listen when people repeatedly told them our streets were not safe. Workers, local businesses, families, even countries now warning their citizens on visiting Ireland. They didn't listen to demands for more Gardaí in the street. Now it's clear from their weak response, they're still not listening. The government need to listen to communities and get to grips with this now so that all communities can feel safe and protected. I commend the speedy response of the ambulance service and the Gardaí who were first at the scenes. They did what they could, as they do every single day, for everyone without fear or favour. The boat fire service and Gardaí were attacked just a short time afterwards, demonstrates a totally moral vacuum of those who carried out the attacks. This coalition of chaos does not inspire confidence. Fine Gael has held this ministry for over a decade. Garda number situation for so long, something Sinn Féin continually raised, must be brought under urgent control, and the Commissioner's call for members from outside Dublin to undertake overtime in the capital is another band-aid over the problem. What's your response to his criticisms?
Well, I spoke in the Dáil myself yesterday on this, and first and foremost, I expressed my shock and revulsion on behalf of the people of Kerry at what happened to those little girls and their carer. And I also acknowledged and thanked the people who intervened and the emergency services, and commended the Gardaí and their response on repelling this. I think it's very important that, first and foremost, we would not blame the Gardaí, blame the Commissioner, blame the Minister for Justice for this. The people who are to blame for this were the rioters.
Why not?
The people who were to blame were the rioters. I mean, this is ultimately...
No, everyone understands that. Everyone understands the rioters, but it's our response to the rioters that people are criticising, that Pat Daly's criticising.
And the response was that we've seen in other European capitals riots going on for days and days on end. The response was that this was quelled, not as quickly as people would have liked. I was never as angry in my life looking at the scenes from Dublin on Thursday night. And I think most people in this country felt exactly the same way. We do certainly need to review now how we police these situations. There has to be, in my opinion, an absolutely zero tolerance approach. Gardaí need to be allowed to do their job. They need to be able to respond with the levels of response that they see fit, as opposed to being afraid, looking over their shoulders at GSOC and at other people who will be criticising their response. They're Gardaí, they're there to protect us all. They need to be allowed to do their job, Gerry. I articulated this as well at our parliamentary party meeting last night, as did a number of other members. If anything positive is to come out of this, and I hope that it will, is that this is a watershed moment in Ireland. Now, it is unprecedented. This flash riot, we have not seen this. It is not a day-to-day thing. That is one positive thing. But what I want to see now is that this is a turning point at which we will see absolute zero tolerance in relation to the far right, in relation to these thugs, who I feel for many of them, there isn't any major political ideology, only a desire to cause trouble. But we do have to equip the Gardaí better. We do have to have more Gardaí. We have to pay them better. We have to have lots of things now that come out of this. But
does that not show up the lack of a job being properly done by Helen McEntee and Drew Harris? That the resources issue, the numbers issue, and that fear of ordinary Gardaí that's been there for a number of years, I can't take action here. I'll be suspended. I'll be under investigation. Effectively, I can't do my job. Isn't that an indictment of the powers over in Gardaí Síochána, both the Commissioner and the Minister?
Well, what I would say is that things have now escalated. We have never seen this before. When was the last time you saw a riot of this scale in
Ireland? I saw a riot in 2006, the Love Ulster Parade. It happened during the day, different circumstances surrounding it. One of the factors out of that riot was that feeling that the Gardaí felt, if I step in here, nip this in the bud, and I use some force to stop this from getting out of control, I will be suspended. That was 2006. And Gardaí were talking about that afterwards.
And so, we haven't had something like that in 17 years, which is
no,
a positive thing.
No, thankfully. But the Gardaí still have the same view, that I can't use force on people who are wrecking the city. Is that not an indictment of Fine Gael after 13 years in the justice portfolio?
There has to be a change now in relation to what has occurred and the developments that have happened. There is also a need as well at political level for better accountability. Anytime I've tried to raise GSOC in the Dáil through parliamentary question or otherwise, you don't get the types of response that you need on behalf of people who are concerned. That has to change, and that is something I absolutely accept does need to be addressed immediately. But what I would say is the most dangerous thing that could happen in the country at the moment, right now, and it's already encouraging to those yobs and those thugs who caused so much damage to our capital on Thursday night. The most dangerous thing that could happen right now is for them to get political scalps, or for the Garda Commissioner's scalp, because that would be a huge victory on top of a victory for them. They're already reveling in the idea that there is a huge political storm now arising from this. They got their job done, basically, is what I'm saying, as a result of this. I'm not saying we shouldn't have debate, but I am saying what we don't need is populism. What we don't need is people playing political games. And one thing that, to me, is very disappointing from the Sinn Féin response on this is that they have expressed no confidence in the minister. That's their right to do that. They've called for her to be sacked. They're entitled to do that. But they did not put down a motion of no confidence in the Dáil this week. They could have done that. Instead, they've decided to wait and drag this on and perhaps have it for another week. And that is rawly political, in my view. I know how things operate in this House. That is purely political. That is there just to inflict damage on a political party as distinct from actually...
Or maybe for some, call into question legitimately what they see as failures. We're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. Deputy Brendan Griffin, my thanks to you for talking to us about both those issues on the programme this morning. That's Brendan Griffin. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch.